Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and divinity and wisdom and strength and honor. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is the feast of Christ the King in the old calendar. And there's actually two debates that kind of popped up in the past 50 years surrounding today's feast day. The first debate is, when should it actually pop onto the calendar? Of course, the traditional Latin Mass answer is the last Sunday of October, but we're not going to get into debates on calendar. The second debate is actually, should there be a separation of church and state? Probably some of you didn't know that that's actually a key debate that comes down to today's feast. Should there be a separation of church and state is actually tied to Christ the King Sunday. Well, traditionally, it's been believed that it was the duty not only of the human heart, but actually the duty of every single country to publicly venerate Jesus Christ, since he is the only king of each and every human society. Now, this is a tough one even for conservatives to digest because we were raised in a democratic republic. But let's see what the church officially teaches. Pope St. Pius X wrote in Vehementer Nos, quote, that the state must be separated from the church is a thesis absolutely false, a most pernicious error, based as it is on the principle that the state must not recognize any religious cult. It is in the first place guilty of a great injustice to God, for the creator of man is also the founder of human societies and preserves their existence as he preserves our own. We owe him, therefore, not only a private cult, but a public and social worship to honor him. Close quote. Two things in there to note really closely. One, that the state must be separated from the church is a thesis absolutely false, a most pernicious error. And two, we owe Christ not only private cult, but a public and social worship to honor him. This is why we have in the opening collect today, if you're following along in your missal, Almighty and Eternal God, who willed to restore all things in your beloved Son, the King of the universe, graciously grant that the peoples of the earth torn asunder by the wound of sin may submit to his most gentle rule. To restore all things in Christ was actually Pope St. Pius X's motto. This meant that he wanted to restore things on earth. Why not heaven? Because everything is already in order in heaven. His goal was to restore this on earth, not only in the church, but because the state, how things are lived out in the state, is going to have some effect on the salvation of souls. In fact, this is the teaching of all the medieval popes. There is to be no separation of church and state. That's not to say they believed that all other religions were to be illegal. Simply that Catholicism must be given pride of place and promotion by both the church and the state, for both the salvation of souls and the order of society, since both are so intertwined. Now, I have to be honest, for most of my Catholic adult life, I believed we should keep church and state separate. Even in seminary, I held that if Christ is to be king of our hearts, he must not be king of any government. Why did I hold this? Because if Christ were written into the Constitution, we might follow Christ for personal advance, say, in money or power. Medieval Europe certainly had some problems with this. Also, the earliest Christians wanted union with God in their hearts, in their bodies, in their souls. They wanted the salvation of their families more than, say, a forced friendship of the Catholic Church with the Roman Empire. Certainly, we could look at John 18 from today's Gospel. Christ says, "My kingdom is not of this world." And really, as we think of the early church, I do think we should really imitate them in their main goals of the salvation of families, considering the fact that the United States resembles the ancient Roman Empire more than, say, medieval 13th century France that worked as a monarchy. But we still today have to entertain the teaching of hundreds of popes, hundreds of these medieval popes that did teach infallibly, according to Father Ripperger, that there is to be no separation of church and state. And this is really a key part of today's feast. I'm not just picking this out of nowhere. This is a key part of today's feast as we look at the debates in the Catholic Church the past 50 years. So instead of harping on a theological conclusion, I just want to first establish a historical premise to the argument of Pope St. Pius X and hundreds of popes on the separation of church and state, or rather their overturning of that. It's this. It's very, very simple. If the church does not lead the state will lead the church. Pretty obvious. If the church does not lead the state will lead the church. I'm going to give you four examples from modern history to prove this. Number one, a few years ago, the White House administration tried to get the Little Sisters of the Poor to provide a health care insurance to employees that included contraception as part of health coverage. Does everybody remember that? The White House tried to force the Little Sisters of the Poor to get their employees to cover contraception in what they paid out for their health insurance. The sisters took this all the way to the Supreme Court. Notice it was the state telling the church how to think, even forming their conscience. Proof that the state is breathing down the neck of the church. Number two, just this week, a colonel for the United States Air Force, a man with a wife and five children, was suspended because he didn't sign a document endorsing alternative marriages and for refusing to thank a serviceman's male spouse. Number three, this week, Ontario, in Canada, Ontario's legislators passed a bill criminalizing pro-life speech and expression outside of abortion clinics that happened this week by a vote of 86-1. Catholics losing their right to free speech. The state informing the church how to think. Number four, I'm going to make communism my fourth example. Remember the communist countries declare in their constitutions that the official religion of the state is atheism. Did you catch that? The official religion of the state is atheism. It didn't say the lack thereof is atheism. The official religion of the state for all the communist countries through the past 100 years is atheism. And they liquidated anyone who did not believe in their religion, over 100 million of their own in the last century. Yes, communism eradicated in one day what the Inquisition did in 500 years. So when people push against our pushing against the separation of church and state with words like the Inquisition, let's remind them of that fact. And that is why we believe that the Catholic Church must form and inform the government of every nation. Let's see what someone more recent than the medieval popes teaches on the separation of church and state. Bishop Athanasius Schneider is an auxiliary bishop of the former Russian Republic, Kazakhstan. He's actually in the United States this weekend for a solemn pontifical mass of Christ the King. Bishop Athanasius says the Catholic Church upholds, quote, the duty of the state to publicly venerate Christ, the King of all human societies, because of the noxiousness of all non-Catholic religions and their danger to the eternal salvation of souls, close quote. According to Bishop Schneider, the state, not just the church, the state must pay worship, quote, to the true God, who is Jesus Christ, the King also of each human and political society, because the Catholic Church is the unique way of salvation, desired and commanded by God, close quote. I add to this, let's remember this religion. Catholicism built the largest system of hospitals and schools in the world. Let's apply all this to the United States. I'm not saying that we could realistically hope for Washington to start looking to the Catholic Church anytime soon for information on faith and morals, especially since we, even in the United States Catholic Church, can't even agree if it's night right now. And let's also remember this. When people complain to us about the separation of church and state, always remind them the only place that's found is in a single letter from Jefferson to a church to remind them that the state would not infringe on the rights of the church. Separation of church and state, that's not found in the Constitution, it's not found in the amendments, it's only found in a single letter of Jefferson to a church, and even that was not to protect the rights of the state of an infringing church, but rather to protect churches of the state infringing on their ground. Yet, traditional Catholics go even a step further from the conservative Catholics who remind people of that, and it's this, that all the medieval popes were against the separation of church and state. Kind of ironic that, from my first example, former President Obama and Pope St. Pius X have something in common there. They're both against the separation of church and state, but for very different reasons, obviously. So I do believe that any country's constitution that proclaims liberty without Christ at its heart is probably destined to become either a dictatorial regime or a place of liberal totalitarianism. Germany in the 1930s chose the first. Of course, now we're in danger of the second. Why? Because freedom without religion will always devolve into a will to power. A will to power is when one group wills what is right and wrong without any objective morality guiding it. In other words, it's the philosophy that might makes right, as we see in how the unborn are treated in this country. So even if you disagree with the church's traditional teaching that there is to be no separation of church and state, think of those four examples that I just gave you. That if the church does not inform the state, it will happen that the state informs the church. Again, I'm not saying we start writing letters to Washington except in the White House, Catholicism as the official religion of the country, because we have to be realistic. It's just not going to happen. Probably have to live more as the early Christians did, taking care of our families as the empire collapses around us. But I want you to understand why hundreds of medieval popes taught infallibly there is to be no separation of church and state, because it forms our understanding of how Christ is king not only of heaven, how Christ is king not only of the Catholic Church, but how Christ is king of this country, whether we want it or not. In fact, many influential Protestants in the 19th century actually tried to get Jesus Christ added into the Constitution. Turns out this isn't only a Catholic thing. Perhaps they would not have seen so many evils that we are now experiencing, but these Protestants in the 19th century tried to get Jesus Christ added to the Constitution so as to establish our civil law on an objective moral law, which can only come from God. Why? Why can objective moral law only come from God? Because an objective moral law will either be based on God's objective revelation or be founded on goofy maxims like be nice and be fair. So now we're a bit lost in total moral license because our country has not mentioned Christ in the Constitution. We've seen it unravel into license instead of liberty. And we've seen it unravel to the point of will to power instead of what it says in the Bible, that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. If we're sinning this badly in this country, we're actually not free. We're slaves of the devil. But there's hope. There's hope of a restoration at the global level with the Catholic Church. Catholic Church even informing and forming the conscience of future states. Countless saints over the past 1,000 years have described 7 ages of the Church. 7 ages of the Church from Christ's birth to his return. Each of these 7 ages of the Church lasts from, say, 100 years to maybe several hundred years. In other words, they're not equal lengths of Church history. By all accounts of these great saints and prophets, we are currently in the 5th age of the 7 ages of the Church, about to be launched into the 6th age of the Church. The saints say that this will happen with a worldwide chastisement. The few who live through the physical fire falling from heaven will finally see what Mary promised at Fatima, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So everyone wonders today, online, in person, anyone who prays the rosary always says, well, what is the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary? The saints I all name come from a book edited by Yves DuPont called Catholic Prophecy. He collects meticulous findings of saints and prophets that really point to the 7 ages of the Church, and especially where we are in the 5th age, moving to the sixth age. And again, these aren't just, crackpots who decided that they are prophets by their own right. These are dozens and dozens of canonized Catholic saints and many holy prophets from the past 100 or 200 years. They write about the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary that it could only be one thing, the sixth age of the church being an era of great peace, or we have to entertain the other possibility, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is simply the end of the world. But this sixth age of the church would not only be an era of peace, but according to dozens of saints and prophets who are not yet canonized, it would arrive with this. Get this. I know I've not completely lost it. This is from dozens of saints. A great Catholic European monarch working hand in hand for the peaceful spread of the faith with a very holy pope. So many of them prophesying the same thing that I can't dismiss that as just crazy. The great monarch and the holy pope. These two men will spread Christ and his church to so many lands that it is prophesied that even Islam and communism will be replaced by Catholicism. One prophet on the coming age of the church said, quote, "They will restore the former disciplines. I see," she says, "in particular, two servants of the Lord who will distinguish themselves in this glorious struggle and who, by the grace of the Holy Ghost, will fill with ardent zeal the hearts of this illustrious assembly," close quote. So do you see what's being promised? A restoration not only of the church, but a restoration of many states founded on this great Catholic monarch. Blessed Catherine Emmerich, the saint whose private revelation drove the movie The Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson, also saw these great leaders of the future. She goes so far as to name this great Catholic monarch, Henry. Quote, "Henry is the great monarch chosen by God to restore all things in Christ. Then I saw the church was being promptly rebuilt, and she was more magnificent than ever before," close quote. In 1820, Blessed Catherine predicted that this great Catholic monarch, Henry, would come out of a mass with no final gospel and no altar bells. Now, how could Blessed Catherine Emmerich in 1820 have predicted that a future Catholic king of Europe would come out of a mass with no final gospel and no bells? 150 years before that happened. So I'm sorry, none of your sons are destined to be the future King Henry of Europe. But they might work with his friend, the future pope, because Blessed Catherine adds that the Catholic Church in this time of our shifting world would, quote, "seem to be in complete decline. But she," the church she's talking about, "she would rise again, even if there remained but one Catholic. The church would conquer again because she does not rest on human counsels and intelligence," close quote. Even if there remained but one Catholic, the church would conquer again. That is why Satan hates you so much for keeping the faith here. Of course, the seventh age of the church will be the coming of the Antichrist and the second coming of Christ. But we don't know. And there are some contrary signs to say that Christ is coming sooner than all of this. Jesus did say to Saint Faustina that she would prepare the world for his second coming. So perhaps we need to be ready for Christ's glorious second coming, even in our lifetime. Even very soon. Either way, our goal is the same, to promote Christ the King as King of every human heart, as King of Florida, as King of the United States, whether our country wants it or not, for Christ alone must be worshipped. We look to Mary, the mother of every suffering nation on earth, Mary, the mother of the resurrected one, showing us as the world spins out of control, that her son's cross stands as the triumph of love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.